ることも忘れないでください。Facebook は The Voice of Indonesia、インスタは VOI underscore underscore official、TikTok は VOI underscore underscore official、YouTube は VOI official。あなたも RRI デジタルアプリで Voice of Indonesia の放送を聞くこともできます。そして受信報告書はメールで voilisteners@gmail.com に送られることができます。それでは。また次回お会いしましょう。
Of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal. Today, you can listen to us on voinews.id, RRI Digital, and shortwave broadcast on 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Right now, you are listening to the highlights of the week, which presents you events that happened in Indonesia for this week. Indonesia eyes global peace role as new BRICS member. Andi Romdoni has the story.
President Prabowo Subianto attended the BRICS summit in Brazil, marking Indonesia's first participation as a full member. The country's presence is seen as a key step to promote global peace and expand economic cooperation. Indonesia's entry into BRICS is seen as a milestone in its foreign policy. Analysts say the country has a strong potential to serve as a peace mediator while also gaining economic benefits. Speaking to RRI Voice of Indonesia on Monday, international observer Hikmahanto Juwana said the role aligns with Indonesia's constitutional mandate to support world order.
Well, it means that Indonesia has gained international attention. We have one more level for our involvement internationally, and this is in accordance with our preamble of the Constitution that we need to participate on world order. And also, we hope that by having the international attentions, you know, there are good things to come to Indonesia. For example, investment, and also those who want to become a tourist, they can come to Indonesia to enjoy Indonesia. You know, those kind of things will happen.
Hikmahanto said that countries helping to mediate peace often take part in rebuilding after conflicts. He hopes Indonesian state-owned companies, especially in construction, can support reconstruction in areas like Ukraine or the Middle East. He believes these companies are ready to compete globally and that such projects could help grow Indonesia's economy and highlight its expertise. BRICS leaders officially adopted the Rio Declaration during their 17th summit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil on July 6, held under the theme Strengthening Global South Cooperation for a More Inclusive and Sustainable Governance. The summit reaffirms commitment to the BRICS spirit of mutual respect and understanding, sovereign equality, solidarity, democracy, openness, inclusiveness, collaboration, and consensus. Leaders also welcomed the Republic of Indonesia as a BRICS member, along with Belarus, Bolivia, Kazakhstan, Cuba, Nigeria, Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Uganda, and Uzbekistan as BRICS partner countries.
Indonesia's Deputy Minister for Primary and Secondary Education emphasizes that education must focus on human dignity. Desi Anugranov has the report.
Indonesian Deputy Minister of Primary and Secondary Education Atip Latiful Hayat says education must focus on human dignity. Speaking at a national seminar on Sunday, Atip emphasized that education should help students grow as full human beings. The seminar, titled Family, the Foundation for Realizing Human Dignity, was held at the National Library in Jakarta. It's part of National Family Day 2025. Atip explained that the ministry is using a deep learning approach that includes thinking, feeling, sensing, and physical activity.
Maka, pembelajaran yang mendalam itu tidak lagi yang tadi,
deep learning includes thinking, feeling, sensing, and physical activity. So it's not just one part that is the target of this approach. The current learning method developed by the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education aims to bring out the full potentials of humans. With this method, education can shape people to become their true selves as human beings.
He said this holistic model supports the creation of a smart and strong generation. It also promotes character building based on core family values. Desi Anugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia's National Nutrition Agency expands free nutritious meal program, creates 100,000 jobs. Ofra Regina provides an update.
Indonesia's National Nutrition Agency is expanding its free nutritious meal program to reach more areas. At a press conference on Sunday, special staff to the head of the agency, Reddy Hendra Gunawan, said that nearly 1,900 nutrition service units are now operating. Around 470 more units will start next week, bringing the total to about 2,200.
Di pekan depan,
next week, the National Nutrition Agency will operate around 2,200 nutrition service units. This means the agency will employ nearly 100,000 direct workers at these units. In addition, about 10,000 small businesses, village enterprises, and cooperatives are already supplying raw materials to the nutrition service units.
Reddy also said the program follows strict quality rules to make sure the meals are safe and healthy. The agency is now speeding up checks on 4,000 new service partners so that next month targets can be met on time. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto has concluded his participation in the 2025 BRICS Summit, which took place over 2 days, July 6 up to 7 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. President Prabowo's presence at the summit marked Indonesia's official participation for the first time as a full member of BRICS. In an official statement delivered on Tuesday, Cabinet Secretary Teddy Indrawijaya described the moment as a historic milestone in Indonesia's foreign relations.
Yang mana ini artinya,
this marks a new chapter in history. Indonesia officially participated in the BRICS summit for the first time. It was initiated by the president himself, and within the same year, we were accepted. All BRICS member countries supported and endorsed us. And in the same year, we officially became a full member of BRICS.
Dan akhirnya di tahun yang sama juga kita resmi menjadi anggota penuh BRICS.
Moreover, the forum was attended by 28 heads of state and government, including 10 BRICS member countries, 10 partner nations, and 8 guest countries. President Prabowo used the opportunity to share Indonesia's vision of expanding global cooperation. Besides, BRICS now represents nearly 50% of the world population and accounts for approximately 35% of global gross domestic products, and Indonesia's membership is seen as a recognition of the country's strategic role on the global stage. The Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs kick off of the first international Musabaqoh Qiraatil Kutub or Turas book reading competition. At the launch monitor from Jakarta, the Minister of Religious Affairs, Nasaruddin Umar, said that this activity was carried out with the aim that participants could internalize the knowledge in the Islamic theological Torah books known as yellow books so that they could implement it in their daily lives.
Mudah-mudahan dengan kemampuan kita,
hopefully with our ability to read these Torah books, our inner atmosphere will also rise, and thus the theology of love can be born as a living law, a way of life in our daily lives.
Kehidupan kita sehari.
Meanwhile, the Director General of Islamic Education at the Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs, Amin Suyitno, said that the first international Musabaqah Qiraatil Kutub was attended by more than 8,000 students from more than 1,000 Islamic boarding schools. In addition, the Musabaqah was also attended by participants from several countries, including Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, and the Philippines. Indonesia speeds up digital transformation of intellectual property services. Ofra Regina reports.
Indonesia's Minister of Law, Supratman Andi Aktas, reaffirmed the country's commitment to accelerating the digital transformation of intellectual property services during the World Intellectual Property Organization's Forum in Geneva on Tuesday. This step aims to build a modern and inclusive IP ecosystem that supports innovation-based economic growth. He stressed that these efforts are part of Indonesia's broader strategy to enhance competitiveness through innovations.
We know we need to innovate to keep up with how fast things are changing. So we are making digital transformation a top priority for how we manage intellectual property.
The minister also said that Indonesia is currently updating regulations on patents, industrial designs, and copyrights to further strengthen its IP system. As part of its creative diplomacy, the Indonesian delegations presented an exhibition titled Local Roots, Global Reach, showcasing cultural-based products from across the archipelago. Addressing delegates from 194 the World Intellectual Property Organization's member countries, Supratman highlighted that all IP services in Indonesia are now available online and are being continuously improved to become more inclusive, transparent, and accessible. As a result, the number of IP applications has increased to over 152,000 in the first half of 2025, a 20% rise compared to the same period last year. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Parliament approves 24 ambassadorial candidates. Desi Anugranov has the detail.
The Indonesian House of Representatives has confirmed that 24 candidates for Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary to friendly countries and international organizations have passed the fit and proper test. Speaking at the Parliament Complex in Senayan, Jakarta on Tuesday, Deputy Speaker Adis Kadir said that the test result didn't need to be formally presented during the DPR 23rd plenary session. Instead, the list of approved candidates has been submitted to Speaker Puan Maharani, who will forward it directly to President Prabowo Subianto.
Based on our observations as leaders in Commission 1, all the candidates passed the fit and proper test and were accepted as ambassadorial nominees proposed by the government. The list is now on the Speaker's desk, ready to be sent to the President.
The fit and proper test for the 24 ambassadorial candidates who will serve at various Indonesian embassies and permanent mission abroad was completed by the DPRRI on Sunday, July 6, 2025. Desi Anugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
Australia Indonesia launched Literacy Corner at Istiqlal Mosque. Ofra Regina has the report.
Indonesia's Ministry of Religious Affairs, in collaboration with the Australian Embassy, officially launched the Australian Reading Corner at Istiqlal Mosque, Jakarta, on Tuesday. This initiative aims to strengthen bilateral ties between Indonesia and Australia through education and cultural exchange. Minister of Religious Affairs Nasaruddin Umar said after the launch that the facility is expected to become an inclusive literacy space that welcomes people from all walks of life. He also emphasized that the program reflects the close relationship between Australia and Indonesia, especially in the field of education.
Nah, kita akan ciptakan suatu kondisi bagaimana Australia dengan...
We aim to create a condition where Australia and Indonesia become even closer through the establishment of the Australian corner here. We can access universities and scientific journals from various Australian institutions without having to go to Australia just by using the computers available at the SteadCloud. In the future, we will also work together with Australia to introduce both of our rich cultures to support one another right here at Istiqlal Mosque.
Minister Nasruddin also explained that the Australian Reading Corner was developed in collaboration with Voice of Istiqlal and offers a diverse collection of books for all age, from Australian children's stories to literature on art, food, education, history, and society. Beyond the Reading Corner, Istiqlal Mosque functions as a center for cross-cultural learning, offering free language courses such as English, Arabic, Persian, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Mandarin available through the facility at various times of the regional Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia expands social security for creative workers. Dora Pardede has the report.
The Ministry of Creative Economy and the Social Security Agency for Employment, BPJS Ketenagakerjaan, signed a Memorandum of Understanding at the National Coordination Meeting on Strengthening Institution and the Creative Economy Ecosystem in the Regions in Jakarta on Tuesday. Indonesia's Minister of Creative Economy, Tuku Rifki Harsya, stated that Memorandum of Understanding proved the hexahelix collaboration in developing the creative economy and also provides employment social security for creative economy players in the regions.
Yang pertama dengan elemen pemerintah itu.
The initial collaboration is with the government agency responsible for the employment social security. It focuses on creating synergy in carrying out duties related to providing labor protection and supporting the development of the creative economy. The initiative aims to support creative economy players, many of whom are informal workers who often face difficulties in accessing social protection. Therefore, the creative industry now has a better access to employment social security.
Meanwhile, the President Director of BPJS Ketenagakerjaan, Parmudia Iriawan Buntaro, revealed that out of a total of 26.4 million workers in the creative economy sector, there are still around 139,000 informal workers who do not yet have employment social security. Therefore, this collaboration aims to ensure that creative economy players can continue to work and innovate with peace of mind as they have social security protection. Going forward, BPJS Ketenagakerjaan will also actively promote awareness among creative economy workers about the importance of employment social security protection. Dora Pardede, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia is strengthening its creative economy by establishing offices in 92 regions. Dora Pardede has the details.
Indonesia's Minister of Creative Economy, Tuku Rifki Harsya, announced that at least 21 provinces and 71 regions or cities across the country are currently in the process of setting up dedicated creative economy offices. Speaking to the media after opening the National Coordination Meeting on Strengthening Creative Economy Institution and Ecosystem in the Regions in Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Rifki said the initiative is part of a national strategy to develop the creative economy as a new engine of growth based on local potential. He added that strengthening regional ecosystem will help create quality jobs and improve people's welfare.
Namanya yang sedang berproses dalam persiapan dinas ekraf di daerah.
Especially those who are in the process of preparing the creative economy service in the regions. Some 21 provinces and around 71 regions and cities will form a creative economy service. In the regions, we know that to form a creative economy service, there usually needs to be a regional regulation, and the regional regulation is usually plan to be signed in the second semester of this year.
Minister Rifki also noted that in December 2024, the Ministry of Home Affairs and the Ministry of Creative Economy signed a joint ministerial decree as a major step forward that provides a clear legal framework and guidance for local governments. The decree enables regions to establish creative economy departments, either as standalone institution or integrated within existing local government bodies. Dora Pardede, Voice of Indonesia.
You are still listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. The Indonesian government targets sugar self-sufficiency starting in 2025. Desya Nugranov provides an update.
Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka reaffirmed the government's commitment to achieving self-sufficiency in household sugar by 2027 and full sugar self-sufficiency by 2027 or no later than 2028. To meet this target, the government is promoting agricultural mechanization using modern technologies such as drone and combined harvesters, and is encouraging the involvement of youth and academics in research on sugarcane seed and downstream processing. Gibran met the REMAKS during the Rembuk Tani or Farmers Dialogue event in Sleman, Yogyakarta Special Region on Tuesday. He also stated that the government will address challenges across the entire supply chains for water access, fertilizer and seeds, to market price and land issues and farmer partnership.
So the president has given clear instruction and we will work together to achieve sugar self-sufficiency for consumption by next year and full self-sufficiency by 2027 or 2028.
President Prabowo Subianto has issued a direct order to accelerate replanting programs for 3 consecutive years to help boost national sugar production. The government is also pushing for better coordination between national and regional programs, including support for free nutritious meals, community-based school, and red and white cooperative initiative. Desya Nugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
The United Nations has warned about a serious humanitarian crisis in Gaza. It also called on all parties, including companies working in conflict zones, to follow international human rights rules. Andi Ramdoni has the details.
After nearly 21 months of conflict, people in Gaza are suffering greatly. Many have been forced to leave their homes, face hunger, and see their cities badly damaged. Essential services and infrastructure are close to collapsing. In an interview with RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday, Director of the UN Information Center in Jakarta, Miklos Gaspar, said that getting humanitarian aid into Gaza is very difficult, making the situation worse. Tragically, over 463 aid workers have died, including more than 300 UN staff. Most of these workers were from the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, or UNRWA. UNRWA supports 2 million people in Gaza by providing food, healthcare, shelter, and education, but it is struggling to continue its work.
Fuel is running out. Hospitals are barely functioning. Water and sanitation systems have collapsed. There's no other agency that can replicate the scale, access, and enjoys the same trust within the community.
The UN also talked about concerns regarding companies involved in the conflict, referring to a report by a Human Rights Council expert. Although the report is not an official UN position, Miklos Gaspar emphasized that businesses must follow international human rights law.
Where credible evidence exists, allegations of any corporate complicity must be thoroughly investigated and accountability must follow in line with international law.
The UN again called for urgent humanitarian access, justice for violations, and respect for international law. Miklos Gaspar urged the world to act quickly to stop further disaster.
The UN calls for accountability for all violations in Gaza by both states and companies. This includes protecting human rights and ensuring humanitarian aid can reach those in need. Andi Ramdoni has the report.
The United Nations reminded everyone involved in conflicts, whether governments, armed groups, or companies, that they have legal duties under international law. These duties include protecting civilians, allowing humanitarian aid, and holding violators accountable. In an interview with RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday, Director of the UN Information Center in Jakarta, Miklos Gaspar, said that after nearly 21 months of conflicts in Gaza, these basic rules are still being broken, causing more suffering for civilians.
The Secretary General of the UN has numerous times called on all parties of the conflict to protect civilians, enable the facilitation of humanitarian aid, and also to pursue accountability, and at the same time, release the hostages unconditionally.
The UN also stressed that governments must regulate companies working in conflict areas like Gaza. These companies must carefully check their activities and supply chains to make sure that they don't contribute to harm or break the law. Miklos Gaspar said civil society and the public should pressure companies to follow international standards.
Corporations need to remain vigilant in assessing their operations as well as their supply chains, so their subcontractors. If there are links that may contribute to harm against civilians or to violations of international law, they must take appropriate action, whether that means disengaging from contracts, enhancing transparency, or strengthening all kinds of safeguards.
Miklos Gaspar added that transparency and public involvement are key to making companies accountable in war zones. The UN calls for stronger courts and legal tools to address abuses and help victims get justice worldwide.
Listener, that's the highlights of the week.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, let's join our interview about ASEAN at the Age of Unity with Muhadi Sugiono, researcher at the Center for Southeast Asian Social Studies of Gajah Mada University, hosted by Rahma.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. VOA listeners and viewers, the 58th ASEAN Foreign Ministers Meeting and related meetings is taking place now in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, on July 8 to the 11, 2025. Foreign ministers from ASEAN member states and Timor-Leste, along with ASEAN's external partners, are gathering to discuss and shape the shared future. And today's VOI talk will discuss the ASEAN Foreign Ministers Meeting and the opportunity of ASEAN to grow amid the global situation with a researcher at the Center for Southeast Asian Social Studies of Universitas Gajah Mada Indonesia, Bapak Muhadi Sugiono. Good morning, Pak Muhadi. Thank you for joining us on VOI talk.
Good morning. Thank you for having me with you.
You're welcome, Pak Muhadi. So, Pak Muhadi, how this meeting, according to you, serve as a platform to solve regional and global challenges?
Yes, I think for Indonesia, ASEAN is still a very important platform to deal with situation, especially in the region, also the possibility to talk about the problem beyond the region. Why? Because ASEAN is the natural environment for Indonesia. Geographically, this is the countries with whom we share geographical situation as well as geopolitical positions. So I think the meeting of ASEAN is all very important for Indonesia.
So actually, what is really needed by ASEAN at this time, considering the current global situation?
There are two things that I find it very important. The first thing is ASEAN need to enhance and strengthen its cohesiveness internally, because it is no doubt that ASEAN is lacking right now about the political as well as social and economic cohesion within the countries in Southeast Asia themselves. And the second one is ASEAN need to present itself as a single and united voice against external actors, especially in the situation, as you mentioned, the geopolitical situation, geopolitical turbulence in the region and beyond the region. Then ASEAN need to show as a single and united actor.
Okay, Pak Muhadi, before moving on to the next question, can you move a bit to the left for a better visual on Zoom, our interview? Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay. Now, moving on to more global situation, global flashpoints such as the conflicts of Israel-Palestine, Israel-Iran, Russia-Ukraine, and currently the U.S. tariff measures. How this affect ASEAN's position and unity?
Well, no doubt that ASEAN actually are not... It's not consisting of homogeneous members. They have different orientation, ideologically, economically they are different, as well as many other differences that makes ASEAN. So in such a situation, there is a possibility that ASEAN cohesion will be in danger, because when a member of ASEAN tend to look at one particular external power while the other are turning into the others. And this has been the case, for example, in the case of South China Sea, while some ASEAN members are confronted with China, then look at the US and the other are still having a very good relation with China and so on and so on. So the division in ASEAN is becoming more serious.
And from the global one, we go to the regional one, the internal issues in ASEAN like Myanmar, online scams, the South China Sea. How critical is it for ASEAN to address this? Like, how big the impact of these issues on ASEAN countries if they are not resolved immediately?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, those issues affect ASEAN in two different ways that I before, internally, the internal cohesion as well as external cohesion, in the sense that ASEAN can present itself externally as a single actor. But internally, the fact that we cannot solve the problem in Myanmar and then we still have a problem how to deal with the South China Sea issues, it indicates that the ASEAN still need to find a common position with regard to this kind of issue. There are many things that need to be done in ASEAN to deal with the homework internally.
And Malaysia's Prime Minister himself, Anwar Ibrahim, has met frequently with Indonesia's President Prabowo Subianto to discuss ASEAN's future. How do you assess Indonesia's leadership role in the region today?
Well, Indonesia has been a leader in ASEAN, but we cannot take it for granted, because our policy is moving toward external world, wider environments beyond ASEAN. And the question is whether or not, with the intention of, especially when we are talking about the current government, when the current government would like to present Indonesia in the wider world, whether or not this will affect Indonesia's interest in ASEAN. So when Indonesia would like to play more leadership role at the global level, then we need to ask that this will be done at the expense of Indonesian leadership in ASEAN. I hope that this will not, but who knows? Because looking at the current situation, the current development, it seems to me that Pak Prabowo is traveling a lot to other places outside ASEAN. And even when Pak Prabowo traveled for the first time, it is not ASEAN member countries where he traveled to, but outside ASEAN. So this can be seen as sending the wrong signal that Indonesia is no longer interested with ASEAN.
Okay, and now we talk the President Prabowo's Asta Cita, Indonesia's long-term strategic vision. So then how can Indonesia utilize more ASEAN to support this?
Well, from time to time, since the establishment of ASEAN, Indonesia enjoy an environment where stability enables Indonesia to focus on the economic development, for example. and internal stability. So ASEAN become a kind of cushion against the external shock, for example. And therefore, we need to make sure that ASEAN can play that role. Unless we have the ASEAN as a cushion shock for us, then we will face the turbulence in the world directly. And this will have a significant impact on whatever policy that we have internally, including Astacita.
Okay. And when it comes to the changes of signing the ASEAN nuclear free zones in the 58th ASEAN foreign ministers meeting, what are the changes that you see?
Well, this is a very significant for us to have a nuclear weapon state sign the Southeast Asian nuclear weapon free zone. Because without their endorsement, then nuclear weapon free zone in Southeast Asia does not mean anything. Because external power, especially the nuclear weapon state, can intervene without any consequence for them. So by signing, and which means that they recognize that Southeast Asia is basically a region without a nuclear weapon. So this means that no weapon, nuclear weapon can be brought to Southeast Asia. So this makes Southeast Asia even free from the nuclear weapons. And this is the vision that our leaders at that time really would like to have. And this is in with the global movement toward the world without nuclear weapons.
Okay, so to conclude all of this, what is the most realistic and impactful outcome that you think ASEAN can deliver from the 58th ASEAN Foreign Ministers meeting?
So I really would like to see that ASEAN go back to the initial intention of its establishment, that is to maintain stability, to promote economic development within Southeast Asia. And this can only be done by enhancing and as well as strengthening the cohesion among the ASEAN member states. And the second one that I also hope to be achieved within the meeting was to strengthen also the external cohesion of ASEAN toward, I mean, the position of ASEAN, the unity of ASEAN in relations to the external world. Because the pressure from the external is so strong that if ASEAN is not cohesive enough, they cannot make any bargaining against external world in one voice.
Okay, Pak Muhadi, thank you so much for joining us on today's VOI Talk. ASEAN faces tough choice ahead, but dialogue is always the first step. We'll see you in another VOI Talk. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, listener, that's today's VOI Talk with a researcher at the Center for Southeast Asian Social Students of Gajah Mada University, Bapak Muhadi Sugiono, talking about the 58th ASEAN Foreign Ministers meeting that is now being held in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Stay tuned for more insightful, inspiring talks on VOI Talks from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Berdebar melihat dia selangkah di depanmu. Jangan terdiam, jangan membisu, ungkapkan isi hatimu.
Tatapan mata jelaskan.
Bye.
katakan, tak perlu ragu. Coba katakan, katakan, katakan dengan cinta. Debar melihat dia hangatnya menyapamu. Jangan terdiam, jangan membisu. Dia ada untukmu.
Betapa mata jelaskan, oh, ada getar hatinya. Tak akan lama menunggu.
Semesta cinta.
Sisa di sunyi malam, lamunan memanjang setelah letih kehidupan. Ku coba pejamkan mata, tetap ku terjaga melewati hampa. Seketika kepalaku berputar seperti mesin waktu. Mencoba mengerti masa lalu.
Overthinking, apa ku tak let go. Pikiran ku spin-spin, cepat like turbo. Mama tanya kenapa progress slow-mo. Sorry if I'm in my lane, aku tidak FOMO. Tak mengerti, nampak pikiran ku upset. Tenggelam di kamar ku sambil play no set. Ku lawan imaji, dalam bari ini. Terbawa arus, udah macam tsunami.
Berhentilah berbicara. Berhenti memikirkan semua. Terus berkata mengganti mimpi.
lain. Jangan seorang come in, don't hit on my line. Kalau mereka tak suka, itu big crime. Kalau mereka obsessed, itu bad sign. Lihat aku di TV, lihat aku on the screen. Double call dari rumah sing, kapan kemari. Personality, better than reality. And if you hate me, love me, I don't give a fuck, I mean.
of Indonesia.